your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. Today is certainly a day to rejoice and celebrate with the families that are here in the interest of raising their children for the Lord. And I want to thank you, supporting family, grandmas and grandpas, aunts and uncles, friends, for coming. I didn't say anything yet. He'll be up here a little later. I think he's getting ready to practice. I don't know. Hang in there, Jesse. I wasn't part of a child dedication service. I was raised in a home where, as a baby, you were brought to the priest and you were christened. Of course, the idea was is that the parents would, of course, commit their children to the Lord. And so I think my parents were well-intentioned in their desire to ensure that I knew something about the Lord. But child dedication is something a little bit different in terms of what was happening there. The reason being, I guess the difference were that, in particular, as it related to that particular church, they believed that by virtue of the fact that you had christened your child, that was a guarantee that that child would enter the kingdom. What's happening here this morning is not a guarantee that God is going to somehow bring your children into the kingdom. Your children need to exercise faith at an age of understanding. But what is happening here this morning is that the parents are expressing their desire to raise their children in a way that is acceptable so that their children would understand the marvelous grace of God. Let's have a look at Mark chapter 10 for a moment. As you turn to that passage, I also want you to think about the fact that we are very blessed to have so many families where mom and dad families are in the same local church. I can't stress that enough. I just want you to understand it is a rarity throughout the land and throughout the world where mother and father are together with their children and there every Sunday because they care about their children. My mom and dad didn't take me to church. There was a period of time where my mother did. It was a little later, as she began to understand her responsibility a little more fully. But Dad never brought us to church. And I don't lament that. I'm just saying that it's just so lovely and such a marvelous blessing. And I want you as parents to realize that. I want you as a husband to look at your wife and to just remember this is God's life mate for you. I want you as a wife to look to your husband and to encourage your husband and realize this is the walk of faith. This is what it means to be community. The rest of our children, the rest of our country is suffering because families are not walking together by faith. Mark chapter 10, verse 13 to 16. This is just sort of a cameo snapshot of an incident in the life of the Lord Jesus. Mark and Matthew and Luke have similar readings. Each of them has a slightly different perspective. But Mark captures this picture for us. Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. And he took them up in his arms, and he laid his hands on them and blessed them. Spiritual health of a family determines the spiritual health of a community and of a country. We, as the people of God who have placed our trust in Jesus Christ for eternal life, are part of a much larger family. There are believers around the world just like us, but for many, one's a believer and one's not. Turns to mom and dad. Where we live, that was very much the case. Many moms would be bringing their kids and dad would never be there. I don't know how we could possibly have a strong society unless the family's united. Today we rejoice with Victor and Nellie, Arthur and Christina, with Ellie, John and Eva, Rick and Tina, Arthur and Tina, and Warren and Leanne. They seek to honor the Lord in their public declaration to nurture their children in the ways of the Lord. Honoring the Lord as a couple. Very important part. It's something that has to be consciously done, intentionally done. For all of us who have children this morning, I want you to think about the number of times in which you have blessed your children. We prayed for our children, but you know, I'm not really sure that we ever publicly, you know, come to think of it, I'm not sure that we did. I don't know what thoughts are going through your mind. But you see, when your children are very young, when they're at this infant stage or stage where they're growing, and you have decided as a couple to nurture them and to publicly express that, you are stating without a doubt that you're dependent upon God for wisdom. Another stage in their lives in which you may want to consider blessing your children is when they have gone through primary school, secondary school, and they have worked real hard, and they've written their exams, and they finally graduate. And so, guess what? In the community next week, we have graduation. In fact, next week in our service, we'll be making mention of several who have graduated in our local church. But it's then when parents are looking at their children and are saying, our children have actually done well, and I want to commend them. I want them to know that we're proud of them. And so parents go to the graduation, and they buy cards, and they express things, and sometimes there are personal letters, sometimes there's personal conversations being expressed, and it's just to let them know how proud you are. And it's very important for a father and a mother to be part of that. Then there's that stage in life when our children are just sort of on the edge of the nest, and they're fluttering, and they want to leave, and they're saying, "I want to do it my way." And they say, "Yeah, and there's a little chick in the nest over there, and I want to join her, and we want to make our own nest." You got the picture. I'm gonna get married. We have a couple of weddings in our church. Another time when family, father and mother, gather behind their children and support them. Very important stage in life. Then there's that stage in life which no man knows. The day of our departing. The day of our departing when we want to remind our children of what it means to walk faithfully before God. And so for those parents this morning who want to dedicate their children, this is the first step. The first step in a long process called life, where they want to ensure that their children understand without a doubt, and certainly before a company of people like us, that they're committed to serving and honoring the Lord. The scriptures teach that we who believe are in fact children of God. And throughout God's word, we see many references to the children of God being blessed by God. Psalm 1, Matthew chapter 5 and the Beatitudes, clear references to God blessing us. Parallel passage to the one that we read, Matthew 19, verse 13, we read that the Lord Jesus prayed for those children. I've thought about that as I grew up, as I raised my own children. I thought about Jesus praying. And I'm thankful that the Lord Jesus prayed and still does pray for us. So what can we learn from our children? What can we learn? Well, at that moment when a child is born or you're announcing the fact that you are expecting a child, you're reminded that there's something miraculous happening. And then as that child is delivered, you look at that child and sure enough, first thing mother says, "Oh, doesn't he have your eyes?" And then the father says, "Oh, but she has your cheeks." And so on. And we see this image bearing going on. But even beyond that, not simply the physical resemblance, there is that aspect that we've been created in the image of God. A child, of course, is a reminder that the purpose of marriage is that of procreation, that children are a blessing to that union. A child, of course, is also a reminder of our responsibility before the Lord. A responsibility before the Lord for the gifts that He's given us in children. We've been granted a special, special responsibility. A child is also a reminder of our dependence upon God, because there are many times as we go along through life and we recognize our children are sick and we can't do anything about it, and we say, "Oh, dear God, would you please give us the wisdom to know what to do?" And sometimes you go down to the doctor and they say, "We don't know what to say." And you go home and you say, "We're just praying, we're just trusting." And that's exactly what you need to do. Or you discover that as your children are growing up and your children have a learning disability and you say, "What are we going to do? We need to pray. We need to trust God." Or they have some physical ailment that you cannot foresee in terms of how the doctor is going to deal with it. And there's this whole matter of suspense and uncertainty. And you depend upon God. As your child is about to leave the nest and choose a mate, you pray that God has been part of that choice. As they go off to school and take on a vocation, you pray that God has been part of that choice. A child is a reminder that life is a learning process where we receive undeserved blessing and where accountability is very important. None of us here has been raised without some accountability. Our parents didn't just let us do whatever we wanted. There were lines drawn in the sand, as it were. There were things that were expressed in terms of expectation from very young. And at times there were consequences when we didn't obey. So accountability is one aspect. But then there's that undeserved blessing as we see our children develop and going far beyond our expectation, surpassing us in their wisdom, their knowledge, their abilities and talents. We had the privilege the other night to listen to some of our family being involved in music, and I don't have the talents that they have. Just amazing what God can do. A child is also a reminder that life is to be enjoyed, and there's that carefree character of children as they run along, they bump their heads, they cry a little bit, wipe their tears, start running again, even though they got a great big protruding bump out there. They forget the bruises. We carry them, but they forget them and they keep moving. Life is to be enjoyed. A child is a reminder of the love of God, the love that God has for us, and the joy that He has in calling us His children. And for you as fathers and mothers, as you look down at your children, you remember them in their infancy. As you look at them as they grow into adolescence and as they go on to be adults and so on, you're reminded that God has blessed you with them. And there is this sense of knowing that God has loved you, cares for them, and that you have been blessed as a result of that. And not only are they your children, but they are His children. A child is a reminder that we must pray daily for wisdom. We must pray daily for the wisdom, the love, the patience that'll be needed if we hope to do a good job in raising our children. Ed and Irene, good to see you back. All your kids. It's great to see these musketeers up here. Praying. A father has a responsibility to pray, like Job did, Abraham did. We have a responsibility, dads, to lead in this area. Patience. Well, that's a virtue that's found in women, right? So you women, you've got to be the patient ones. My mother had to exercise so much patience with me. It's okay. It comes with the job. It's all part of the DNA. God equips each of us if we'll trust Him with the needed patience, but we must depend upon Him. A child is a reminder that heaven belongs to those who simply trust in the Lord Jesus for eternal life. Explaining the gospel to your children at a young age so that they can express, I believe that. I believe that Jesus is the Messiah, and I believe that Jesus has given me eternal life. And I believe that I'm forgiven. And I believe that I have peace with God. And I believe that I'll be with the Lord when He calls me home. That's a life of faith, and that begins at a young age. We praise God for Victor and Nellie, Arthur and Christina, for Willie and Ellie, for John and Eva, Rick and Tina, Arthur and Tina, and Warren and Leanne, as they have expressed their desire to publicly present their children, Jesse, Cheyenne, Tyson, Jonas, Megan, Ashton, Sophia, and Milam to God, and to do so in the presence of His people this morning. To dedicate themselves as parents to nurturing their children in the love of Christ. And in being here and doing so, they also invite our partnership. Our partnership in helping raise their kids. Because that job cannot be done alone. You can have a baby, but it takes a community to raise that child and to nurture and admonition. It takes a household of faith. And so we as believers at Faith Evangelical Bible Church are committed to praying for one another's children. So we give thanks for the life that's found in the children that we've just mentioned. We rely upon God to do His work in them. These parents are going to seek God daily. And we as the family of God are going to seek God daily in behalf of these children. And so our prayer for these children is that God's fatherly love would be evident in and through our lives as a body. Psalm 127, verse 3, the passage that Jody read to us. Sons, we could say children, are a heritage from the Lord. Children are a reward from Him. A reward, a blessing, is a grant. Something that's given freely. Something that you receive because you're faithful. Somewhere along the way, you're going to probably say, what did I do to deserve this? But frankly, many times you'll be saying, we're so blessed. Scriptures say in Matthew 18:10, "See to it that you do not look down on one of these little ones. For I tell you that the angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven." I don't know that I have a good, clear understanding of all of that. I can only say that this is what the Scriptures teach. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost. And I want you to think about that. You've got these kids. God doesn't want to lose any of them to the evil one. So it means that you need to rely upon God. I'm going to ask Victor and Nellie, Arthur and Christina, Ellie, John and Eva, Rick and Tina, Arthur and Tina, Warren and Leanne to come up at this time with their children. And as they do, maybe turn in your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. If there are others of you who plan to be part of this service and you didn't let me know and you have children that you want to dedicate to the Lord, you are welcome to come up at this time. Okay? You don't need an engraved invitation. If your heart's desire is to dedicate your children to the Lord, you're welcome. There are other families that expressed that they wanted to be part of the service but couldn't be here this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 3. Being written to a generation of children who also had children, who witnessed the disobedience of their parents, who consequently died in the wilderness, who now are being challenged by Moses to say, learn from the mistakes of your forefathers and make sure that you are responsible in nurturing your children. This is what the word says. "Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you." Hearing, listening, taking what we've heard in principle and applying it daily in the raising of our kids is what these parents want to do. Verses 4 to 8 read as follows. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Do whatever you need to remind you of the principles found in God's word. Whatever it's going to take to ensure that you don't stray from the principles of God's word, take whatever measures you need to take. Loving God with your whole heart, with all your soul, with every fiber of your being, is what it's going to take for you as parents to be successful. For you as parents, as you consider the Lord's guidance in your life, God is guiding you. He's indwelt you with His Spirit, left you His Word. And He wants you to take the things that you have received, and He wants you to be very intentional in the way that you live as a couple, in the way that you're going to raise your children. So at those times when your children are going to be able to understand, and believe you me, they start understanding soon. Right, Jesse? Very soon. Right, Milam? For sure. I listen to what Daddy says. Mommy, sometimes I have choices. Maybe. Not really. Talking about those principles for living found in God's word is something you'll have to do while you're playing on the floor, while they're learning to walk, Reading the Word, praying so that your children see you active in your faith as a couple is critical, so that they won't depart from those principles that you're teaching them. Unless the Lord builds the house, you as parents labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over you and cares for you, all the things that you think you can do are pointless. It's only to help you understand that God is watching over you, and you need to trust Him, and you need to be aware of His presence daily in your lives. Now, I want you to think about your kids. Someday, they're going to be asking you questions. You'll be telling them a little bit more about the Lord Jesus, and someday they're going to say, Daddy, Mommy, what do I need to do to make sure that I'm going to be with you when I die? Because by that point in time, a lot of children, whether you and I realize it or not, already have a concept of death, because we live in a world where there's birth and death. And someday they're going to ask the question. They're going to hear that Mommy's sick. Daddy, Mommy's sick. Is Mommy going to die? And they began thinking about, they want to be with their family. They want to be there. They're assuming that that's all going to happen. But then as you've been teaching them the Scripture, they're going to realize that they actually have to take some personal responsibility. And so Jonas may one day say, Daddy, I want to be with you and Mommy. You've been telling me about the Lord Jesus, and I think I understand. To which John and Eva will be granted the wisdom to be able to communicate the gospel clearly. It's as simple as that. Do you parents wish to present publicly your children to God in recognition of the high privilege and unique responsibility that God has granted to you? Do you recognize and solemnly declare your dependence upon Almighty God for the wisdom, help, and blessing that you will need to guide and nurture your children? Do you promise and commit yourselves to teach them the truths and obligations of the Christian faith, and through purposeful prayer and exemplary lives seek to lead them to God through faith in Jesus Christ? You've heard these parents declare their desire to present their children to God, to dedicate themselves to their Christian nurture. They've asked some of you as family and friends to be here. They need your help. They're counting on your help. Do you acknowledge and accept the responsibility of assisting these parents, your children, grandchildren, in loving, teaching, and training these children in the ways of God, so that these children may, in due time, place their trust in Christ Jesus as their Savior? If you do, would you please signify your acceptance of this responsibility by standing with them this morning? You're not walking alone, are you? It's an awesome privilege to have family and friends walk with you by faith. You may be seated. At this time, we're going to ask several of the fathers here to pray on behalf of their children, and at the end of that, I'll offer a prayer dedication for their children.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for today, and I thank you that you are in control, and thank you for the children we have, and especially I thank you for Jesse today, and I just pray that you give us to see the responsibility we have, and I thank you that we're not on our own and we can do it just with your help, else we won't be able to do it. And just pray that you help us to provide, to lead, and to show the way to your kingdom. Pray these things in your name.
Himmlischer Vater, ich danke dir für die Möglichkeit, wo wir hier hinkommen könnten. Und ich danke dir, dass wir dein Wort hören können, dir singen können und alle zusammen hier sein können. Ich danke dir vor allem, dass du uns unsere Tochter Cheyenne geschenkt hast. Und das ist überhaupt das größte Geschenk, das du uns geben konntest als jungen Eltern. Ich danke dir auch weiterhin, dass du uns die Kraft gibst, gute Eltern zu sein. Und ich bitte dich auch, gib uns weiterhin diese Kraft und genauso wie den ganzen anderen Eltern hier. Halt die Herzen von unseren Kindern in deinen großen Händen und leite sie auf den richtigen Wege. Und auch uns Eltern und die ganze Gemeinde auch, damit wir weiterhin alle deine Leute sind und immer, dass du immer für uns da bist. Und ich danke für alles, Herr, Vater, Sohn und Heiliger Geist. Amen.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the opportunity today to publicly ask for your guidance and the help of fellow believers in raising our kids, and just recognize the obligation that it is and the blessing that it is, and just pray that you would give us wisdom and strength. And thank you for a strong body of believers that can back us up in that. And pray that as a husband and wife, we can just bless our children so that they may in turn follow you and be productive in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, we bring Jesse and Cheyenne, Tyson, Jonas, Megan, Ashton, Sophia, and Milam to you today. We thank you for their parents. We thank you for their love for you. And as they are now offering their children back to you, they do so in full recognition that their children have been entrusted into their hands. We as your people prayerfully affirm and recognize the need of your fatherly care in each of their lives, in our lives. And so we pray that throughout the lives of these children, the lives of these parents, we ask you to guide them. Guide these parents and their children in the ways of truth and life as found in Jesus Christ. Mold these children in the formative years. Give them the will to resist temptation. Lead them to experience the forgiveness and eternal life that is found only in Jesus. And we join our prayers and those of their parents today. May the Christian home and the fellowship of believers in which each of these children are being raised be to them a constant demonstration of the power of a Christ-filled life. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we as parents and your people solemnly commit ourselves to the Christian nurture of these children that you have entrusted to our care. Receive these children and these our acts of faith and love in the name of the Lord Jesus, your Son. Amen.